psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
And if a father wants to get into his daughter's world, he has to listen to her.
This is, in my view, a battle where everything is up for grabs, including the very existence of this nation.
And I'll see this horse that all of a sudden looks over and says, oh, there's my kid, there's my kid.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, if you haven't figured this out by now, here at Family Talk, we are all about marriage and parenting, the unmistakable value of bearing and raising children. So many of you know exactly what I mean, and that's why you've tuned in today. Ryan, some experts estimate that all around the world, there are at least 13 million children who've been left with no mother and no father.
I know, Luann, and that figure is so staggering that you almost can't wrap your head around it. 13 million kids with no mother or father. Where do they go? How do they feed themselves? Where do they sleep? It's almost just devastating to think about, let alone consider that we as individuals can try to make a difference.
And we must, Ryan and Luann. What is happening to children around the world is heartbreaking to us. They are so vulnerable and so needy, and they're being abused in indescribable ways. Our listeners may remember we had four guests with us in the studio about a month ago. Dr. Roy and Carolyn Stringfellow were with us. He's an OBGYN here in Colorado Springs, and their daughter and son-in-law were also with us, and they're both physicians, and they had just returned from a missionary trip to Kenya, where they were working in the 10-week hospital there. And the most poignant moment in that interview was when they talked about these little girls, 10 and younger, who are forced to marry, and they soon conceive, and then they are too small to deliver normal babies, and their bodies are torn and twisted during the birth process, and it resulted, as they described it, in something called fistulas. And I won't go into that except to say that their bodies smell bad for the rest of their lives, and they're rejected by their tribe and by their families, and they live alone like lepers. It is horrible.
It is.
What happens to children. Now, just several days ago, I came across some other information that disturbed me just about as much, and for the same reason. In September of last year, CBS News told a story of a 12-year-old child bride from Yemen who died during labor. Now, this young girl was only 11 when her father married her off to a 24-year-old man. 2 years before that, an 8-year-old girl in Yemen walked by herself into a courtroom and demanded the judge to grant her a divorce to a man in his 30s. This was an 8-year-old girl.
Goodness.
And I found an article just several days ago again that was quoting the International Center Research on Women. And they estimated that there are 51 million child brides now living on planet Earth, and almost all of them in the Muslim countries. 29% of those child brides are regularly beaten and molested by their husbands in Egypt. 26%, this article said, receive similar abuse in Jordan. Every year, 3 million Muslim girls are subjected to genital mutilation, according to UNICEF. And you can find articles like this. Now, I can't validate every one of them, but there has to be truth to it, because it's everywhere and from very credible organizations. World Vision has reported that families are selling their daughters into marriage as young as 7, and that 60% of the girls in Afghanistan are married before the age of 16. What are we doing to our daughters? This is what's going on, and protecting these children is our heart's cry, and we're going to address it every way we can.
Well, it is just heartbreaking, Doctor. I mean, I'm struck that as adults, here we are, it's our job to protect these children, and yet It's the adults who are harming them in such reprehensible ways.
Well, I implied this a moment ago. There are ways that we can help, and we can reach out to children who are being abused and neglected. And yesterday, we met two young women who understand the suffering of children firsthand, and they're doing something about it. As we heard in that interview, they both have become involved in outreach to orphans in one corner of Eastern Europe, Romania. And I'm sure that many of our listeners are aware of the difficulties that they've had with abandoned children and institutionalized orphanages in that country. And the problem persists. With us again today are Sarah Birchtold and Jackie Knight. Sarah is the founder and president of Firm Foundations Romania, which ministers primarily to orphan babies who live in hospitals on the eastern side of the country. And Jackie is the director of Romanian Relations for Global Hope, which supports a number of foster families that take in orphans on the western side of Romania. Ladies, you captured our hearts last time, and we want to hear more of your story. Welcome back to Family Talk.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Good to be back.
Sarah, as we completed the program last time, we were talking quite a bit about gypsies in Europe and how the children there are often not cared for, and that many of the babies in the hospitals that you and Jackie worked in were gypsies. What's with that? Is that really the case? Is there an inordinate number of gypsies in those kind of orphanages and in those kind of needs?
Yes, I was told about 80% are from the gypsy village that are abandoned. And I do believe that that's from their conditions, from the poverty.
So abandonment is a fairly common thing.
Very common.
Yeah, they can't afford them.
They can't afford to take care of their children. They don't have space. They don't have the support from their peers, from their husbands. They raise children just to get by. We raise children for leaders.
Are these abandoned children all babies, or do they sometimes abandon older kids?
The children that we work with at the Children's Hospital are primarily babies.
Yeah. And Jackie, you worked primarily with babies too, right?
Yes, we worked with babies for about 3 years, going into the orphanages and holding them until the Lord really, opened doors, and we started a children's home there. And so at that time, we worked under the authority of the Romanian government and took in a group of children 10 years ago who are still with us. We have raised them as if they were our own. We have a children's home that has two Christian Romanian house parents. It's a very well-functioning, kind of like a foster family, and they've done very well there. In recent years, the government has kind of switched to a foster family model. And so we had originally eventually three homes. Obviously, we started with one. And two of those homes, we had staff ladies who were working there. They would come in and work 24 hours and then go home for 48 hours and just rotate that way. And when the opportunity for them to become an official legal foster family arose, they kind of looked into that and prayed about that. And what we were able to do was to take those children who were in those two children's homes, and each of our staff members took home 1 to 3 children in sibling groups, and are now raising them in a family.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Straighten something out for me, because I had understood that it has become illegal to adopt a child out of an orphanage in Romania. Is
right.
that correct?
Yes, that's
what
true.
What is Why? With that?
There was a lot of sex trafficking to Italy. But I do not believe that this should have been the case to close international adoption. I also heard that they wanted to keep their own kind in Romania.
And yet they can't take care of them.
And now the problem is that child protection services all over the country do not have enough money to fund the foster parents, and they cannot find foster parents. There's not enough of them that are willing to take them in. So they're overloaded with children right now. And there are rumors around, though, that international adoption may be opening. So this has been a huge prayer for all of us in Romania to open up international adoptions, to release these children so that they can go into loving homes.
And some good things have come. Like, they have gone from institutions that held 100, 150 children at a time to smaller homes where they had maybe 10 children. And then that didn't work out very well. And so now they have moved to a foster family model. And so there are some good things happening. I mean, I think they have realized that an institution with one nurse or caretaker to 10 to 12 children doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the mentality and the poverty hasn't been taken. The mentality that it's okay to abandon your children and let the state raise them hasn't changed. So what you have is the children being shifted around in another place, but they're still there. And so, you know, Sarah might have started at an orphanage. Now she's working in a hospital. I have children who were once in an orphanage. Now they're in a foster family, but they're still the same children. They're just living in a different place.
Mm. Yeah, the state hospitals have become now the new holding tanks. So this is the frustrating part for me, because I'm living there and I see these children suffering constantly and being neglected, and nobody is helping them. And it's frustrating. I'm frustrated. And so we need more people to be involved. We can't do it alone. We need the team. We need people from America. We need people from Canada. We need people from Europe. We just need to come together to make this difference, because we can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend in Congress by the name of Frank Wolf. He is a congressman from Virginia and has been there for, I don't know how many terms, 7, 8 terms. And he has a great heart for children. And if he were sitting at this table, he would be identifying absolutely with what you all have said, because he is responsible for one of the committees in the Congress that visits countries around the world and makes DVDs of what is occurring there with children particularly. And I've seen them. And I'm telling you, it absolutely tore me up to watch it, to see these precious children with needs. I want to ask the two of you, do you get acquainted with them as personalities when you're there working with them? I mean, is it just a bunch of kids, or do you know children by name and by personality?
We know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All our children have nicknames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just by their personality, or, you know, what they do, or
And are they reaching for you? Do they see you as mother?
Yes, sometimes they do. Yes.
They call you mother?
Sometimes,
mama?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Jackie, do they you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Actually, we had house moms, so they used to call them all Mama, you know, Mama Ika, Mama Kati, whatever the house name was, and I was just Jackie. But I got to be Mama to a little boy named Simon. I lived at the house, and he was only 2 months old when we got him, and I hadn't yet learned Romanian, and so Simon came and lived in my room with me. This was the first year that I had lived there, and the house moms were busy. We had this little preschool going on because we had all toddlers at the time. And so I got to really raise Simon. And when he was old enough to speak, the first word that he said, the first name that he knew was not Jackie, but Tachi. But I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when you came home back to the States, you had to say goodbye.
When I came home, he was going into kindergarten, and that was the hardest thing for me, really. In fact, he had a little preschool that he went to, and I left in January, and so one of the last things that I did was I attended his little Christmas program, and you know, he was up there with his little class, and like when he saw me pull out the video camera, he walked right over, like just right down off of the front of the out of the room and to the back of the room where I was standing, stood right in front of that camera and said, "Hi, Tachi." And you know, his teacher was like all frustrated, "Simon, come back!" And I was the bad parent at that time, encouraging this behavior because I loved it so much.
Sarah, is it true that you didn't really know who you are and who you were then when you first went to Romania? Has this made a contribution to your own self-concept and your own awareness of who you are and who God is?
I mean, I knew who I was. I knew I was a determined person wanting to make some sort of difference in some sort of country or in someone's life. I just didn't know where. During the time that I was trying to figure out where to go, I just asked God. I said, God, show me. I'm confused. During this time in my life, I needed to know who God was, who Jesus was. I needed to rely on him 100%.
And how you fit into his scheme of things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a very spoiled sort of lifestyle, but Romania was my boot camp, mm-hmm. and still is. Mm-hmm. It taught me about discipline. It taught me how to have faith. It taught me to push through even though circumstances were hopeless. Mm-hmm. It taught me to have, to love others beyond, and to give and to make people smile, so.
Luann, it occurs to me that if what we've just heard and what I just said is true of Sarah, then it must be true of many other people that are listening to us. Mm-hmm. Women perhaps more than men, because mm-hmm. women tend to be more nurturing, especially of children and babies in this case. But there are others like that out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the purpose for this broadcast today.
And I wouldn't want to pigeonhole it, Doctor, but I'm thinking especially of those single men and women in their 20s who maybe are floundering a little or looking, even taking a short term. Sarah, you said you'll take 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, maybe taking a little reprieve like this, a little sidebar, could change their lives completely, like
right.
the two of you. Or it might just be a time for God to redirect a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is a key time for them to answer some of those questions.
Jackie, you're going back to Romania mm-hmm. This fall,
going
aren't
back
you?
For a visit in the fall, yes.
For a visit or mm-hmm. going back to work?
If I'll be working there, and I'm going to stay for about 3 or 4 weeks.
So the
weeks.
Calling is still on
oh,
you?
Oh, absolutely, Doctor. There's so much to do. Mm-hmm. And, at Luann, as you were just saying, we are the hands and feet of the Lord. And there's a spiritual principle from a parable in the Bible, the parable of the sheep and the goats, where the Lord tells his followers that whatever you did unto the least of these brethren, you did it unto me. Mm-hmm. And that is so tangible, I feel like, on a mission trip. And you can really let the Lord speak to you during those times. And he may not say, you need to stay here for the next 5 years of your
right.
life, or you're never going home, or whatever it is that you're afraid that the Lord might tell you to do if you go on a mission trip. He may not say that, but he'll tell you what the next step is. And it may be something different in your life
completely. I think when you talk about that bond, it's created between you and Christ for the faith that you've put in him and the trust of going someplace that you might be uncomfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
That does allow it to say, hey, maybe you should stay here for 5 years. I didn't want to come to Colorado when
right.
I moved here.
Right.
I kicked and screamed the entire way and fought like crazy. I don't like the winter. I liked where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
I liked my job. I liked my friends.
Yeah.
And the Lord had a better plan for me. He had a better plan for my family.
Yeah.
And I get to do this now because I obeyed God. But it didn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And I think college kids, there are so many lost college kids. The economy looks bad. The future of our country looks bad. There's so much negativity going on that to leave college and to go someplace and make a difference.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You
yep.
are making a difference. You may not have a great job. You may have a great paycheck, but you are making a difference in individual lives, and you can see the fruits of that. That can lead you on to bigger and mm-hmm. better things for the rest of your life.
All right. We must not let this program get away from us without describing the two organizations that you all are associated with, because we want to give some options to the people who are listening to us. And there are many, there's World Vision. I mean, there are many mm-hmm. Places that you can
so
go
in. So many good places.
And organizations that you can work with. But Jackie, talk about your organization.
About Global Hope. Well, like I said, we've been operating in the community of Arad for about 10 years now. We've been working with the same group of children. And I wanted to, last time when we were talking, Ryan asked, is there hope for these kids?
Mm-hmm.
What is the hope for these kids? And I just want to say, God's way works. It works. I mean, we went in and we took these children and we met their physical needs, and then we poured into them love and we tried to meet their spiritual needs. We told them about Jesus. And one of the blessings of just, you know, having 10 years with the same children is that we are really being able to see the fruit of that. And we have two girls this year graduating from high school, and they both want to go to college. And, you know, when Ryan, when we were talking last time and you said, what usually happens? I said, well, these girls usually end up getting taken advantage of, having children and dropping them back off at the orphanage. Well, these two girls are finishing high school. They have both in recent years made public declarations of their faith by being baptized. And the biggest blessing in my life is that they have both come to a point, and it's been a very hard journey for them to get to this point, to where they accept their biological parents and that entire situation for what it is, but they look and they say, God has given me everything that I needed. They have the perspective to be able to look back and say, why me? Out of the hundreds of children in that orphanage that I came from, they know their roots and they say, why me? Why did the Lord just handpick me to come to this particular orphanage where I have a mom and a
Jackie,
dad?
Jackie, that's so inspirational. You know, I mean, that really,
it
really is.
Is.
And it's kind of a centerpiece of your life, isn't it?
It is. And it's such a blessing. It's more than I could have asked for.
Sarah, the organization that you're with, Firm Foundation, that's actually your organization, isn't it?
Yes. We run an international volunteer program where people from all ages can come and do hands-on work where they can hold the babies, change them, feed them, and just kind of understand their lifestyle. So we welcome men and women and teenagers, 18 and older, to come and make a difference in a child's life.
And is this the centerpiece of your life as well?
Definitely. Yep. Romania is my home. It's my passion.
Jackie, you wanted to share a scripture. Please do.
Yeah. You know, Sarah, we were talking last time, and she said that she had rescued some children, and you said, what does that mean? And, you know, as I look at Juana and Sanda, our two girls who are graduating from high school, and they're able to look back and think, if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, where would I be? What path would my life have taken? And it just reminds me so much of the scripture in Psalm 124, where the people of Israel are on their way back from captivity in Babylon. And they say, you know, if the Lord had not been on our side when everyone was against us, you know, we would have been swallowed alive. We would have been fill in the blank. And just a several verses down, it says, but we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare was broken, and we have escaped. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. That is what we mean when we say we're rescuing those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you're meeting their needs, and you're changing their lives. And Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy in the United States, in Romania, in Africa. But what we do when we're the hands and feet is we break that snare, and we give them the freedom to walk in the love of God.
What absolutely wonderful guests you two have been for us today. And I've been touched, and I know there are people all over our country who have heard what you've said today and last time and have been touched in their hearts. And I do hope that there will be some folks out there, some maybe some young people, who will say, I can at least go for a period of time, and let me see what God will do here. And in order to do that, Luann, you need to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with these two organizations. There are many others. Yeah. It's almost impossible to cover the waterfront, but do what you can.
But these two are a great place to start. Jackie, you're with Global Hope.
Right.
And Sarah, you're with Firm Foundations. And we'll have both of those at myfamilytalk.com.
Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll follow your exploits and your missionary journeys down the road.
Thanks, Dr. Dobson.
All right.
Thanks.
Keep us posted on what's happening, ladies. We'd like to know, and we'd like to be able to bring updates to our listeners as well.
We will.
Now, the starting place to learn more about Jackie's and Sarah's ministries and the organizations they represent, Firm Foundations Romania and Global Hope, is myfamilytalk.com. Jackie and Sarah, I'm thinking you two must really be overflowing with more stories. stories about these children you've worked with, probably than you had time to share today. Would you stick around and share some of those with me?
Absolutely.
And we'll post that audio along with some music and pictures of the children that you've worked with online, myfamilytalk.com. I just got to say, I've seen some of these pictures, and they will really grab your heart. It's a great thing to share with your children if you want to plant the vision for missions in the heart of your kids. MyFamilyTalk.com if you want to find out more, or if you'd like to partner with us here at Family Talk to bring you more inspiring stories from folks like Jackie and Sarah, give us a call, 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.